Hello and welcome to this week's Nessun Patriots podcast. I'm Doug Kai, joined as always by Zach Cox. Zach, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing okay. This is the first kind of real hot summery type week in Massachusetts. And I realized yesterday that my AC does not work. So it's going to be a rough couple of days before we get that fixed. But we're sweating it out right now and powering through.
We've not installed the AC yet, but it's almost time. I think by the end of this podcast, I will be a sweaty mess, but hopefully that's not the case. Let's start off with a little bit of Patriots quarterback talk. I wrote, a couple stories about Jarrett Stidham this week, the first of which was about his relationship with Will Hastings, and the second one was basically just how he might adjust to life as the Patriots starting quarterback. But there's also been some word this week that, you know, maybe Brian Hoyer could be the guy for the first few weeks of the season. I think our friend Michael Hurley wrote about that. Some people have kind of hinted that that might be the case in the past. So let's talk about that a little bit, because it is an interesting thought that, you know, maybe even to begin training camp, we see Brian Hoyer getting the first team reps. Maybe that even carries into the early part of the season. I think that that's probably the worst case situation for the Patriots, but it's not certainly out of the realm of possibility that Hoyer might technically be the starter when the summer starts.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on, I believe it was last week's podcast, a decent amount. I wouldn't be shocked if Brian Hoyer opens the season as the Patriots starting quarterback. I don't think it will happen, and I think that if it does happen, something probably did not go to plan over the course of the next month or two or three. But I wrote a couple weeks ago, I put the chances at 65% Jarrett Stidham, 35% Brian Hoyer. I mean, you can look at it one of multiple ways. You can look at it as these two guys already had a quarterback competition last year, and Jarrett Stidham already beat out Brian Hoyer last year, but he was beating him out to be the backup and be a player who was not expected to play significant snaps at all during the regular season. This competition is for a guy that you want leading your team in week one, that you can trust to make the correct decisions in a real regular season game. I think that's a little bit of a different conversation than the one we had about these two guys last year. That being said, we've all seen what Brian Hoyer can do. He's fine. He's a replacement level quarterback, basically. And Jarrett Stidham obviously has far, far, far more upside. So I don't know. I think that Jarrett Stidham will be the starter in week one. I think that's the best bet for the Patriots. But I wouldn't be shocked if it is Brian Hoyer just to start things off.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't be shocking. I could sort of see some frustration from Jarrett Stidham if, you know, he doesn't enter the summer as the starter, since, as you mentioned, he did already technically beat out Brian Hoyer last year. There was some rumblings that the Patriots plan to bring Hoyer back after cutting him, but if they really valued having Hoyer as their backup that much, then they would have just kept him rather than keeping, I guess, who wound up being Gunnar Olszewski, the 53rd guy on the roster. So I don't know. Ultimately, I do think that Jarrett Stidham winds up being the Patriots week one starting quarterback, but I also don't think it's necessarily a sure thing. For one of those stories that I wrote this week, I did talk to Chip Lindsey, who was Jarrett Stidham's offensive coordinator in 2017 and 2018. I thought that something he said about Jarrett Stidham's history at Auburn might, you know, help play into the fact that he's going to have a lot of pressure on him replacing Tom Brady in New England.
Yeah, I think he'll be fantastic. He'll have zero issues with learning the playbook. Now, obviously, it's the NFL game, and from what I understand, the Patriots maybe is a little more taxing on a guy, but he's very, very intelligent, and I've talked to him probably every couple of weeks. He's spending a lot of time learning, and I think what Jarrett does really well is he watches and pays attention, and that year he spent last year doing that, I think it's going to be extremely beneficial to him.
So I thought that was a really good point that, you know, Jarrett Stidham's already been under the limelight. And I think that that was even the case going back to high school in Texas. At the same time, expectations are extremely high in New England, not only for the team, but for the starting quarterback as well. This is a fan base that has watched Tom Brady for 20 years. So even the slightest hiccup from Jarrett Stidham will really be magnified, not only by the fan base, but also a lot of the radio hosts that are around New England who really sort of, they love the suffering, they love the negativity. So I think that if Stidham struggles, they're going to go all in on that And it would be interesting to see how Jarrett Stidham does handle that, if that is the case.
Yeah, I mean, in all of our interactions with Jarrett Stidham since he came here, and everything that we've heard from, be it his current coaches, his former coaches, his teammates, he seems to be a guy who does have a good head on his shoulders, kind of a clear vision, a guy who's not too bothered by kind of hiccups or outside noise. But it's easy to be like that until you enter into what is going to be the most pressure-packed quarterback situation in the NFL. I mean, you're replacing the greatest quarterback in NFL history. There's no easy way to do that. And even though a lot of Patriots fans do seem to be, at least from what we've seen, the type of reactions on social media and whatnot, a lot of people are kind of expecting the Patriots to sort of implode a little bit without Tom Brady. If Jarrett Stidham is not above average to very good this season, he's going to catch a lot of grief from fans, from media members, certainly from talk radio. He's going to be under the microscope, and that might be another reason why it might potentially be better to ease him in a little bit more. I know he's not a rookie. I know he's been here for a year, but if you do have Brian Hoyer start the season, start the first couple of games, and then just give Jarrett Stidham an extra couple of weeks to work his way up to it, I guess I can see the potential benefit in that. I mean, it would only be a couple of weeks, so I don't know what that would even kind of solve or achieve. But I don't know. It's a tough situation. It's the most. I don't think there are many players in the NFL who are going to face more pressure than Jarrett Stidham this season, assuming he does indeed beat out Brian Hoyer for this job.
I think there's also a question before we move on about just how well Brian Hoyer even would handle that sort of pressure, because Obviously he's been a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's older than Jarrett Stidham, but I mean, Stidham, as we were just saying, was just playing at Auburn in the SEC. Brian Hoyer's been the starter for, you know, teams like the Cleveland Browns, where expectations just aren't the same as they are in New England. I'm certainly not saying that Patriots fans are better or worse than Browns fans or Cardinals fans or Steelers fans or, you know, the other teams that Brian Hoyer has played for, but we see on Twitter all the time, we see on social media, just how high Patriots fans set their expectations. So I don't know. I mean, I think that Hoyer probably could handle the media pressure and the fan base pressure, but it would also be a much different situation for him.
Yeah. I mean, there are already Patriots fans that think Jarrett Stidham sucks because he threw one pick six when he was a rookie. So have a couple hiccups in week one, and that is going to be magnified times 100,000. So it's definitely going to be a very difficult situation for whoever has to step into those shoes.
Absolutely. We have done more undrafted free agency film reviews this week. I've personally been having a lot of fun doing these. I know that you have as well, Zach. We did a lot of the offensive skill position guys last week, and we've got one more of those to start off. Zach, you took a look at wide receiver Isaiah Zuber. You know, we talk all about Will Hastings and Jeff Thomas and a lot of these other undrafted free agents, but Isaiah Zuber actually was the highest paid undrafted wide receiver that the Patriots signed this offseason, which I think might be a slight surprise to some folks, simply just because he wasn't as big of a name as guys like Hastings and Thomas and even, you know, J.J. Taylor, the running back out of Arizona. But clearly the Patriots liked something that they saw in Isaiah Zuber, and I think that it might actually date back to how he was performing at Kansas State, maybe even more so than what he was doing last season at Mississippi State.
Yeah, you would have to think so, because Isaiah Zuber started his college career at Kansas State, was really good in 2017, really good in 2018, transferred to Mississippi State as a graduate transfer last year, didn't really do much of anything at Mississippi State, only had 14 catches, zero catches on six targets in his last five games. Was really kind of it seemed to be from watching him on film, he was the third, fourth, even fifth receiver on their depth chart at times. So not exactly sure what the reason for those struggles were, but even watching him in some of those Mississippi State games, you see some flashes. You would see some glimmers of, oh, okay, this guy's got some talent. The biggest thing that stood out to me, it seems kind of simple and obvious, but the way he catches the ball, I really like. He's really aggressive with his catching style. He catches the ball away from his body with his hands fully extended, catches it out here, doesn't let it get into his chest. And it really helps him kind of secure the ball both in some some contested catch scenarios, some plays along the sideline. He's really good at securing the ball and holding onto it through contact. And that's something that a lot of wide receivers don't have. It'll be interesting to see how Isaiah Zuber fits into this entire kind of receiving core and return game this year, because a lot of the players that the Patriots brought in, both through the draft, through undrafted free agency, and even in veteran free agency, are guys that do have punt and kick return experience. So it's going to be a lot of moving parts in that kick and punt return conversation, I would assume.
Zuber did not test before the draft, so we have no idea what his 40 time, three cone time, short shuttle, and the Patriots probably don't know either unless he was tested either at Kansas State or Mississippi State. But that's another reason why he just didn't receive that much hype before we actually saw his guaranteed money. The first guy that I studied this week was Arkansas linebacker DeJon Harris. I think that we sort of, pigeonholed him as sort of an Elandon Roberts type player, and I still think that after watching him, he does look smaller than Roberts, though, on the field, even though they're listed at almost the exact same size. DeJon Harris is 5'11", weighed 234 at the NFL Scouting Combine. I think Elandon Roberts was 5'11", or 6 feet, 234, so almost the exact same build. I wonder if Harris bulked up for the combine, though, just to get his weight up a little bit more, just because watching him on film, he looked like a safety, but he didn't move like one. So that 4.69 40 time that he ran, that seems pretty accurate. He had some trouble, going sideline to sideline with some of the routes that he would take to tackles. It was almost like he thought he was faster than he was, because that's where he missed a decent amount of tackles, when he was simply just trying to run a guy down and the guy basically blew past him because Harris couldn't move sideline to sideline. He is much faster, much quicker when he's moving uphill, when he is that thumper type linebacker. He's not quite as strong, though, as Elandon Roberts. He's not the type who could blow up Joe Thomas like Elandon Roberts did in one of his first NFL defensive snaps. He doesn't bring that same level of explosion, I would say, but I think he could be a solid run defending linebacker. But you have to be pretty special to be a 230-pound linebacker and also only be a first and second down type player in the Patriots defense. At the same time, Patriots obviously like this guy. They gave him $140,000 guaranteed as an undrafted free agent. That's more than they gave their seventh round pick center Dustin Woodard. So they clearly had some competition to sign DeJon Harris. I'm not totally sure where he fits. I think that if he fits anywhere, it's as an Elandon Roberts type. I'm not sure if he's fast enough to play on special teams. And I didn't see much from him as a coverage linebacker. I would even say that, Elandon Roberts sometimes got criticized for his ability in coverage. I would say that Roberts was a faster player who also might have been a little bit better in coverage too. So I don't have the highest hopes for Harris, but there is a spot there at linebacker for the Patriots, whether that is their draft pick, Cash Maluia, whether that's a guy that you're going to talk about a little bit later Kiava Tizino out of San Diego State, or it could be a guy like someone who was already on the roster, who was the undrafted free agent that they had last season. I always forget his name.
Therese Hall.
Yeah, Therese Hall.
Another undersized guy, a couple inches taller, but
exactly.
Yeah, similar weight.
Yeah, it could be any one of those guys. But I personally, just from all the hype that was out there about DeJon Harris from the Arkansas fans, from the amount of guaranteed money that he got, I expected a little bit more out of him. But he was certainly a solid run defender who could certainly, also blow up some offensive linemen on pass rush snaps as well.
Absolutely. The Patriots definitely had a type when they were looking for undrafted linebackers. I'll get into that a little more when we talk about Kiava Tizino in a few minutes. But it was interesting overall, too, just looking at this class, the amount of guaranteed money that these players got compared to previous years. Now, obviously, part of that is just kind of NFL salaries go up and up and up a little bit every year. But typically, it's notable if a player gets every single undrafted free agent is far from a roster lock. But it's notable if a player gets in the basically over $100,000 guaranteed. You have to kind of take notice and say, oh, man, this guy, we should at least be kind of studying up and knowing who this guy is. It was like Harvey Longy a couple of years ago got a $115,000 guaranteed. He ended up making the roster. Andrew Beck last year got $115,000 guaranteed. Didn't make the roster, but played in every game for the Broncos. once he got picked up by Denver. So these players are usually Jacob Hollister got 90,000 guaranteed. So these players are players to watch, and they have a good chance of making the roster. But this year, four different players got over 100 or 100,000 or more guaranteed from the Patriots. Zuber, J.J. Taylor, Dijon Harris, and Bill Murray, who I'm going to talk about in just a minute, which was interesting. It was interesting to see how much more money the Patriots were devoting to undrafted free agents. And it doesn't seem to be the trend all around the league. I was looking around at some other teams, and it doesn't seem like every team is paying these guys 100,000 or more every year. So it's interesting to know why the Patriots kind of have been bumping this up a little bit more this year.
I think part of it was just that, you know, the Patriots didn't have a ton of salary cap space this season. So might as well splurge on undrafted free agents who don't count against the salary cap yet. It's cash being handed out, but those players aren't actually counting against the salary cap right now. So yeah, that could be part of it. Or maybe they just, you know, they liked this undrafted crop of players. They only wound up using the 1 7th round pick. So maybe some of these guys are players that they would have drafted if they had kept all of those 7th round picks. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to be too harsh on Dijon Harris, but like I said, I was just expecting a little bit more. With a guy who's that size, he either has to be a lot more athletic than Harris or as explosive and strong as Elandon Roberts. And I didn't quite see either from Dijon Harris. You're going to talk about Bill Murray now next, right?
I am. Bill Murray, obviously his name is Bill Murray, which is funny in itself, but this guy is – watching him, I was very impressed. He's one of the players I mentioned who got over $100,000 guaranteed. He actually got $125,000 guaranteed, which was second on the Patriots behind Dijon Harris and second of any FCS undrafted free agent behind Rondell Carter, who from James Madison, who signed with the Cowboys. Murray played at William & Mary and was ridiculously effective as an interior run defender, interior pass rusher. He played nose guard at William & Mary, probably too small to play there in the NFL because he's only around 280-ish pounds, 285 pounds. So typically those guys are in the 315 to 340 range, like someone like Danny Shelton or Bo Allen, who the Patriots just brought in. But I was very impressed with what I saw watching him on tape. Obviously was playing against some lower competition at the FCS level, but he had a game against East Carolina he really stood out in, had a game against Virginia that he made a couple of really nice plays in. This was a guy who was also really talented on special teams. He blocked 10 kicks during his college career, including 4 last season, which I would have to imagine is something that piqued Bill Belichick's interest. Overall, again, it's a little not exactly sure what role he might fill with the Patriots because he is a little bit undersized, but seems to be pretty athletic, seems to be pretty strong. Wasn't invited to the combine, didn't have an official pro day because his got canceled for the coronavirus. But overall, just from watching him on tape, you see some instances where he's chasing a quarterback down to the sideline as a much bigger man, and he's kind of overpowering some guards and tackles, or guards and centers rather, on the interior. So overall, it seems like he has a pretty impressive body of work. The William & Mary actually even used him as a wide receiver on a trick play 2-point conversion late last season, and he moved pretty well and showed some pretty good athleticism for a guy his size. So, and defensive tackle too is, I think, probably the easiest position on the Patriots roster for an undrafted free agent to earn a spot, just because it was a position that was pretty shallow last season and the Patriots haven't made any additions to it this offseason, other than letting Danny Shelton walk in free agency and signing Bo Allen. They haven't made any changes other than that. And you see a player like Dietrich Wise, who was playing significant snaps there last year, wasn't really a fit for the defense the Patriots were trying to run. Maybe a guy like Bill Murray would be a better fit in a spot like that. And I think he has a strong chance by undrafted free agent standards of sticking around on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, he's really competing with, I guess, Byron Cowart, last year 5th-round pick, Courtney Wallace, who's another undrafted free agent, Nick Thurman, who was an undrafted free agent last year, and then some of the guys that you mentioned. He would probably play a role similar to Adam Butler. So, you know, maybe if the Patriots got even a trade offer for Adam Butler. He's right now signed as just a restricted free agent. Eats up a decent amount of cap space, but so the Patriots would probably like to either sign Adam Butler long-term or, you know, do something with him. So, yeah, I agree with you that Bill Murray certainly has a chance at a roster spot. Another guy that he is competing with is the next guy that you studied as an undrafted free agent. You did an extra one this week, and that's Auburn's Nick Coe. He's definitely a slightly different body type. I even saw him listed on some pre-draft rankings as a linebacker. I know that he played a little bit of outside linebacker in Auburn's defense, but he's a big, long guy, 6'4", 6'5", 280 pounds. In an ideal fit, he'd probably play, you know, strong side defensive end or defensive tackle in the Patriots defense. But what did you specifically see from Nick Coe, who is similar to someone that we mentioned last week, Jeff Thomas, a little bit of a character concern based on his a football character concern is what I would say, you know, arguing with coaches, maybe thinking that he's a little bit, you know, bigger than he is.
Yeah. Very interesting player. At this point last year, Nick Coe from reading everything, a lot of the articles out of Auburn, it was basically Auburn had a quote unquote big three in their defensive line with Derek Brown, Marlon Davidson, and Nick Coe. And Derek Brown ended up going high in the first round. Marlon Davidson ended up being a second round pick. And then Nick Coe went undrafted because he had a really poor senior year. He basically was a total non-factor for Auburn. And it's really interesting. You mentioned that he was listed as a linebacker in some places. He actually practiced as a linebacker at the NFL scouting combine. And for Auburn, he played everywhere from defensive tackle to stand up outside linebacker, which you don't really usually see. He was listed at 291 at Auburn, trimmed down to around 280 by the combine. Reportedly, had dropped a little bit more beyond that by his pro day. But from the sense that I got from reading up and studying up on him was that he played this position called Buck. During the 2018 season for Auburn, which is kind of a hybrid outside linebacker, defensive end, pass rusher position. It's what Dante Fowler played, and it's what Carl Lawson played in college in the same defense that Gus Malzahn runs at Auburn. And those players were very effective, and Nick Coe was very effective as a junior. I think he led Auburn in sacks, was second in tackles for loss, really became a guy who people were talking about as a potential early round draft pick if he replicated that his final collegiate season. Obviously he did not, and he ended up going undrafted. Seems like the reason for that was that the Auburn coaching staff wanted to sort of utilize his versatility a little bit more. They wanted to kind of play him a little bit at that Buck spot, but they wanted to slot him in at defensive tackle from time to time, slot him in at defensive end from time to time. Sounds like they even created a new position just for him. They wanted to use him as like a Swiss Army knife type guy, move him all over. And Nick Coe didn't like that. He viewed that as a demotion. He viewed that as he had a starting job and was productive in it, and now they're taking that away from me and they're making me do all this other stuff. So as I mentioned, really poor production last season. Got benched for a game because he quote unquote did not meet our standards in practice this week, which was what Gus Malzahn said about that. And then chose to skip Auburn's bowl game and skip his senior season. So as you mentioned, the football character concerns are definitely there. If you're a player going on to the Patriots and you're not willing to kind of have the team utilize every aspect of your skill set, even in ways that maybe aren't conducive to you putting up the best personal stats, that's going to be a major problem right away. And you're probably not going to last long in New England. But I mean, if this is a guy who was a potential first round pick just 1 year ago, and you can bring him in as an undrafted free agent for a pretty cheap salary. I think he got $40,000 guaranteed. So that's not even that much for an undrafted free agent. This is a guy who's definitely worth a flyer to me. And all of the everything that I said about the defensive tackle group with Bill Murray also applies to Nick Coe. So I think he also has a realistic chance of landing on this roster if he can kind of take the approach that the Patriots want their players to take and take a little bit more of a team first mindset than what he showed at Auburn in his final season.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that, you know, even for a player his size, 6'5", 280, he didn't test that well. So it was kind of surprising that he did succeed as sort of a outside linebacker type at Auburn. But I would expect the Patriots would probably have him playing either strong side defensive end or defensive tackle in their system. The last guy that I cited was Miles Bryant, cornerback/safety out of Washington. Another interesting story, he actually walked on at Washington, but it wasn't a typical walk-on story. He actually had an offer from Washington. He had an offer from other FBS schools, and he simply just took too long to make a decision. And by the time that he was ready to make a decision, those scholarship offers were gone. But he walked on at Washington after his freshman season. He actually earned a scholarship. Then he was a three-year starter from his sophomore, junior, and senior season. So like I said, not the typical type of walk-on story, just based on the fact that he wound up being a three-year starter with the Huskies. He played slot cornerback in 17 and 18, moved to free safety in 2019. The two big factors about why Bryant wound up going undrafted was his size. He's only 5'8", 185 pounds, and his speed. He ran a 4.62 40-yard dash. He's unbelievably quick and agile. He had some of the best testing numbers in the three cone and the short shuttle. He's also pretty instinctive. So while I don't think he's the best fit at free safety simply because of he doesn't have the long speed to do it, I actually think he could possibly get by just because his reaction time and the way that he can get his body to move after reacting probably cuts some split seconds off of that 40 time. You know, his play speed probably is quite a bit faster than his actual track speed, but ultimately because of his size, because of his agility, and because of what he showed as a sophomore, junior, and a senior when he was in the slot, I do think that he would wind up being a better fit in the slot. And Miles Bryant, you know, he didn't get the most guaranteed money. He plays a position that's not, you know, super sexy like a running back or wide receiver or quarterback. But one of the reasons why it was worth doing a film review on Miles Bryant is simply because of the amount of success the Patriots have had finding undrafted cornerbacks. I did a slight deep dive on this in the film review that I did, comparing Patriots undrafted cornerbacks to the players they've selected in the second round of that position. Undrafted cornerbacks: Malcolm Butler, J.C. Jackson, Kenny Moore, who's gone on to star with the Colts, Jonathan Jones, Randall Gay, and Crevon LeBlanc, who's gone on to star for a couple of different teams. Those are the six best undrafted cornerbacks that they've signed since Bill Belichick came in 2000. And here are the second round picks they've drafted since 2000. Darius Butler, Cyrus Jones, Duke Dawson, Joan Williams, Terrence Wheatley, and Rozai Dowling. There's no doubt at all where the Patriots have better success, and that's through signing these undrafted guys. And as I mentioned in the article, there's a little bit of cherry picking in there because I'm not mentioning guys who are drafted outside of the second round. Then you get Devin McCourty, who had two good seasons as a cornerback, Asante Samuel, Logan Ryan, Ellis Hobbs, Daryl Roberts, and even guys like Jonathan Wilhite and Alfonso Dennard, who have been better than those second round cornerbacks. But I mean, even if Miles Bryant doesn't wind up getting a roster spot on the Patriots, I think it will be pretty difficult for him to do that based on the other names that the Patriots have at cornerback right now. He could wind up being the next guy who is claimed by another team. But really, I mean, he's fighting for a roster spot with guys like Joan Williams, some of the other cornerbacks on this team, like Justin Bethel, who might not be guaranteed a roster spot, D'Angelo Ross, who I know that we really liked last year in training camp with the Patriots, and some of the, you know, the spring practices the Patriots had. But I think that Miles Bryant is another good player. This is another good find for the Patriots as an undrafted free agent, just based on what he could do in the slot. He showed off some pretty good ball skills. At times he was running routes better than the receivers that he was covering. And as I mentioned, he's just so quick that if a ball is really anywhere near him, he can get a jump on the receiver. He can move in those short areas much faster than other cornerbacks and wide receivers can do. So while I do think that he will wind up being a slot option for the Patriots, I don't know. I mean, another shorter cornerback who moved to safety was LaMarcus Joyner. I could see him potentially having an NFL career similar to Joyner. Some other undersized cornerbacks who have succeeded in the NFL: Tim Jennings, Captain Munnerlyn, and Nickel Robey Coleman. Those are really the top players who have been 5'8" or shorter. So, I mean, he's definitely got the size working against him. He got the speed working against him. He's an undrafted guy, but I think he is still a player who's got some potential.
Yeah, the Patriots' ability to find these undrafted cornerbacks is pretty remarkable. Yeah. And any other season, I think you'd probably be looking at Miles Bryant as a guy that might have a legit chance of cracking the roster just because of the Patriots' success there. But their cornerback group is just so deep right now. You mentioned D'Angelo Ross. He was a guy that was really kind of came out of nowhere last offseason and was one of the more impressive cornerbacks in training camp before he ended up getting hurt. And he's probably, I mean, he has a very, very, very difficult chance or very low odds of making the roster this year. It's just such a deep group. So you're probably not going to see Miles Bryant on the Patriots roster this season, I would assume. But there have been players in the past, like you mentioned Kenny Moore, you mentioned Cravon LeBlanc, that have kind of stood out in Patriots training camp and then parlayed that into a contract elsewhere. So yeah, definitely going to be a player to watch regardless.
Yeah, Justin Coleman, Darrell Roberts, some other guys who have either been undrafted or low-round cornerbacks who have gone on to succeed with other teams. Real quick, you did Kiava Tezino, or this one's coming out on Friday. Another undersized linebacker, sort of in the mold of a DeJuan Harris. What'd you see from Tezino?
He's DeJuan Harris. He's a Landon Roberts. He's basically, these two players are not identical to a Landon Roberts, but are very, very similar. Kiava Tezino is almost the exact same size as Harris and Roberts. He was listed at 6 feet, 235 at San Diego State. Wasn't invited to the combine, didn't have a pro day, so we don't know his exact measurables, don't know his athletic testing numbers, but watching him on film, he does look very similar to those players. He is at his best when he's flying downhill, when he's kind of sees the play in front of him and goes and attacks it. Not as good when he's trying to move sideline to sideline. Doesn't look like his speed is that great. I saw a couple plays where he was chasing a quarterback out of the backfield. The quarterback just kind of did one little hesitation and then ran right by him around the corner. So it's similar to Landon Roberts in that regard. Not really a guy that you want in space. Also had some issues in coverage in the games that I was able to watch. But one difference between him and both Harris and Roberts is that San Diego State blitzed him a ton last year. They ran a defense that was an interesting defense, where it's basically a three-man front with no stand-up edge rushers, and they would blitz. So technically, it probably wasn't even a blitz because it was only a four-man rush, but they would rush Kiava Tezino from his middle linebacker spot all the time. I mean, he rushed the passer. According to Pro Football Focus, he had 509 pass rush snaps last season, and Harris had about 270. So it was their play style or their usage style was a little bit different, and I think that's why you saw some of his kind of behind the line of scrimmage production was a lot better than Harris's. Mm-hmm. Tezino ended up with he had 10 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks last season, 14.5 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks the season before. He was San Diego State's team MVP the last 2 years, All Mountain West first team the last 2 years. A good player overall. And I mean, the biggest knock on him is the biggest knock on those other two players is his size. The Patriots typically don't want to roster linebackers that are that small. And I mean, they typically like the guys to be at least in the kind of 6'4", 6'5"-ish range, and a little bit beefier. But I mean, Landon Roberts stuck with this team for 4 years. His kind of defensive playing time dwindled by the end of it, but he was a team captain. He was a guy who played a lot of snaps for this team and stuck around for a while. And with the fact that the Patriots did bring in two of these very similar players tells me that they are interested in adding another player who is in the kind of a Landon Roberts mold, and they would be interested in having another guy like that on their roster. Based on money, which again isn't everything, I think Harris probably has a stronger chance of sticking around. He made twice as much. He received twice as much guaranteed money as Tezino did. Tezino got $70,000, which is still pretty good for a UDFA. But Harris also played in the SEC. He played for a program in Arkansas that's produced a lot of Patriots players over the last couple of years, played against better competition. The fact that Tezino also played for one of the best defenses in college football last year, which I didn't realize until I looked it up. San Diego State ranked second in total defense, second in points allowed, basically top 10 in pretty much everything else. And he was the captain, the leader, the sort of spearhead of that entire defense. There's a lot to like about him. If you're a team that's willing to have a linebacker that's that size on your roster, then I think that he has a pretty good chance. But I mean, they're only going to keep one of them, so that'll be that might end up being a battle between those two players.
And I think that you would throw Cash Malouia, the Patriots draft pick, in there as well. And just from watching, you know, all three players, Malouia, Harris, and Tozino, I was actually probably expecting to like the undrafted linebackers a little bit more defensively, but I think I actually do understand why Cash Malouia was a sixth round pick and the other guys wound up going undrafted. And that's simply because Malouia was a much better athlete, showed much better speed on the field. Maybe that's, you know, the competition he was facing at Wyoming, but I did like him more as a defensive player, despite not being as productive as those other guys.
Yeah. I think Malouia brings a lot more special teams potential than both of those players too.
For sure. All right, that will do it for this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. We will be back next week for the final podcast of the spring. Then we will be back for training camp in late July. But we do have one more podcast to go before that sort of long break in between shows. But keep it on Nesson.com for all of your Patriots coverage. Follow Zach on Twitter at Zach Cox Nesson, and follow me on Twitter at Doug Kine.